So when I made the schedule, the preaching schedule, which I usually do fairly far in advance, this week was going to be the Go Center week, and the folks from Go Center were going to be preaching. We changed that schedule, so now they're coming in March. But it left me with an open Sunday, which doesn't happen all that often. And so I thought about what to share with you on this Sunday as sort of an individual kind of a message. And a couple things came to my mind. One was that we've just spent our Advent season emphasizing evangelism. And emphasizing evangelism in the season of Christmas when, at least from my point of view, we have unique opportunities to share with those who are not involved in churches already and don't necessarily connect with Jesus personally much at all. There are unique opportunities during the Christmas season for us to connect with others and to share about Christ around the season of Christmas, because Christmas really is all about Jesus. It's funny, just this week I heard a quote from a football coach who and their team is in the playoffs, which are going on right now. Some of you may know that. And somebody was asking about distractions to the team, and basically said, "Well, Christmas is the big distraction." And there you go. That is a worldly approach to Christmas. It's a huge distraction from the things that are real and things that really matter. We would say the rest of life is a huge distraction to the things that Christmas is trying to tell us. Real Christmas is trying to tell us, which are essential and eternal sorts of things. Well, since we just come through a season where we were talking about sharing the good news of Jesus, especially at Christmas time, hearing some wonderful real life stories about evangelism from folks on our evangelism ministry team, I thought that maybe it'd be good to sort of continue with that. And then I remembered when I first came to this church, and I mean very first, the first time I ever saw this church. Danelle and I were coming for an interview. This is going back, you know, almost 20 years at this point. And we came around the corner down Mayan Avenue, and there was the church. And the first thing, of course, we saw was the tower. And my vision at that moment was of a lighthouse here in Reno, Nevada, a city that is not particularly famous for its righteousness, historically. And today it's just like most other cities, probably in most ways. But I saw the tower, and I thought, there is a lighthouse for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it really has been that. It was that vision that said to me, yep, this is where you need to go and be a pastor, if they think so. And they did. And that vision that really has driven much of what we've been about here at Covenant over at least the last 20 years and probably beyond that. And so I thought, well, with that sort of vision of a lighthouse and that idea of evangelism in mind, I thought it'd be good to share with you this story that I wrote actually quite a while ago. It's a parable about the church, and it's called The Leaky Little Lighthouse. Let me read some scripture for you first, and then you can symbolically, figuratively, kind of gather around Grandpa Jay, and he's going to read this little story to you as our sermon today. Hear the word of God first from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, verses 14 through 16. Later, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating. He rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." The Leaky Little Lighthouse. A fairy tale about the church, a people belonging to God. As long as anyone can remember, the light of day has been fading into the dark of night. Storms have come and gone. The waves have crashed against the jagged rocks along the wide bay, and boats have sailed on and on. In ages past, the darkness and the rocks claimed nearly all of them. Glorious, tall-masted ships, whose wide sails once confidently harnessed the wild wind, and little dinghies with oars like wings and the hearts of true heroes. They all suddenly found the water they knew so well beating the life out of them against the invisible ruggedness of the shoreline until, battered and broken, they floated away and fell to the cold black depths of the merciless sea. And every time it happened, the boatmaker's tears would well up and fall from the huge clouds above the wide bay. He knew it didn't have to be so. There was safety and protection for the boats just around the point, next to the bay in the narrow harbor. But they were never interested in finding the harbor by day, and at night they couldn't. They didn't know the way. They didn't have the light. So one day, many years ago, the boatmaker did something wonderful and surprising. He built a pretty little house right there on the end of the point. And above the house, he put a high tower with a winding staircase up to the top, where there were big, clear windows all around. And there at the top of the tower, he put a beautiful, bright light for all the boats to see. And he gave his new little lighthouse this charge: "Here I give you my light. Shine it out. Split the night. Guide my boats. Point the way. Shine your light on wide bay and into my narrow harbor." And what a special evening it was when the little lighthouse's light flashed on for the first time. The boats took notice. "Look there! Look there! Help has come! We are saved!" The little lighthouse felt useful and blessed, and the boatmaker smiled. In those days, the sad crashes were fewer, for the bay was safer. But though many boats sailed in and out of wide bay, only a few followed the little lighthouse into the boatmaker's narrow harbor. Still, day after day, the little lighthouse stood tall with her red and white stripes announcing her presence, and night after night she shined and her bright light pointed to safety. For a while, the little lighthouse was the tallest building around. But before long, other builders across the bay began putting up their versions of lofty lighthouses. So in time, out her side windows, the little lighthouse looked over to see a variety of impressive houses, much bigger than her own, with dazzling towers, much taller than hers. There was the High Education Lighthouse, with its beautiful brick tower covered with ivy. The big Government Lighthouse, whose tower was crowned by a massive dome and featured 13 different stairways, all going to the same place. The Strong Health and Fitness Lighthouse, whose square tower had no stairs at all, just four climbing walls, ranging in difficulty from moderately impossible to radically extreme. The mighty First Bank of Money Lighthouse, which was the most impressive of them all, and was continually being remodeled to meet the changing needs of boats everywhere, and many others. Each of these called out in their own way across wide bay, "This way! Follow me. I can get you where you need to be." The problem was that none of them had the light. The best they could do was to reflect the light of creation, which came up in the morning and went down at night. So during the day, they could puff themselves up with pride as their impressive structures and bright colors and clever patterns captured the attention of many boats. But when the darkness fell, they became invisible. They could offer no help, and many of the boats who had listened to their boasting at noon ended up on the rocks by midnight. And the little lighthouse stood tall and shined out on the point across the bay. And when the sky turned black, only she had the light to guide the boats safely into the wide bay and safer still into the narrow harbor. "They are moon houses," the little lighthouse thought to herself. "But I am a house of the sun." Not surprisingly, the big lighthouses of the bay grew to resent the little lighthouse on the point by the harbor. As she looked across at them, they were looking down on her. They agreed together that her light was unnatural, and that all good lighthouses should be sleeping at night anyway. Some went so far as to say that her light wasn't real at all, but something imagined by desperate boats. They couldn't account for the boats that had been saved by it, so they didn't try. And all of them began making fun of the little lighthouse. "I could fit three of you in my main hall," said one. "Isn't it a little early for a Christmas candy cane?" taunted another. "I bet you even leak," cried another. And the cruel laughter echoed over the rocks. And the last remark stung the little lighthouse from her floor to her ceiling, because she realized it was true. She had grown old, and she had never been perfect. Now the salt spray, the incessant wind, the tireless sun, and the frequent rains had eroded the protection around her windows. She leaked, and it seemed to be getting worse. The little lighthouse had always been very fond of her comfortable little house below. Her walls had always been so clean and bright, her furniture in just the right places. Now leaks from the tower above began causing streaks to form on her cozy walls. Now drips and puddles around the edges threatened her comfortable furniture. Finally, she had to move everything toward the center of her main room, and she even had to take down the large plaque which had hung there for so long, reminding her of her purpose with the words of her charge. "Here I give you my light. Shine it out. Split the night. Guide my boats. Point the way. Shine your light on wide bay and into my narrow harbor." She was so frustrated by the leaking that she forgot that the brightness of her walls was of no importance compared to the brightness of her light. She began to lose interest in the faithfulness of her shining because she was growing increasingly anxious about the coziness of her furnishings. And before long, the taunts from the outside were joined by the sound of drip, 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 jeering at her from the inside. It was almost too much to bear, and the little lighthouse decided she had to do something about it. So one day, she covered one of the windows of her tower with plastic. This seemed to keep the water out, but it also blocked off most of her light through that window for the boats. By accident, as she continued her covering project, she began using different colored plastic, and the towers across the bay took notice. "Hey, look at the little lighthouse. She's become an artist. Nice stained glass. Hey, look, everybody. Look at the beautiful patterns she's making." The little lighthouse liked being praised by the other towers, and she realized that without too much effort, she could make colorful symbols in her windows, crosses, anchors, and other signs of the boat maker. It was fun and felt very meaningful to the little lighthouse. And the big lighthouses liked it. And at night it was almost impossible for any boats on the bay to see any light from the point. But the little lighthouse was so taken with her new decorations that she said to herself, "This is even better than the light." Soon there were more boats crashing than ever. Their cries echoed through the dark each night. "Which way? I can't see. Help me. I've run aground. I can't get free. I've lost my rudder. I'm sinking. Help." But the little lighthouse didn't hear them anymore. She was too busy thinking of new symbols to put up for all the boats on the bay to enjoy. And what is more, with all the covering, uncovering, and recovering of her windows, her leaking quickly became worse than ever. But since she was gaining so much approval from all the other towers on the bay, she didn't mind so much even about that anymore. "Help us! We don't want to crash!" cried the boats. But instead of light, they got another new symbol in colored plastic. And the tears of the boat maker came down in torrents. And then a storm like none before it blew into Wide Bay. Boats were tossed like so much driftwood. The wind and rain blew off chunks of rock. Whole cliffs fell away into the pounding sea, taking some of the big lighthouses with them. The other big towers were blown over by the raging wind because none of them had been placed on a solid foundation. Only the leaky little lighthouse remained standing. But she too was hit hard by the storm. Her wall shook, her tower rocked, her house flooded, her furniture was ruined. Her beautiful window covers were blown away. But this turned out to be a good thing, because now many boats once again could see the light and avoid the rocks. When the storm subsided and the next morning came, the new sun rose on a scene of utter destruction. Once proud ships lay in pieces on the rocks. Once magnificent towers were fallen on their sides and crushed by their own weight. The coastline had a new shape, and the sea was like a dirty, crushed ship soup. But also on that new day, there were two wonders to behold. Just around the point, next to the bay in the boatmaker's narrow harbor, were more boats than had ever been seen there before. Tall boats, small boats, flat boats, sightseeing boats, fishing boats, luxury boats, boats missing their masts, boats missing their motors, boats listing badly to the port or the starboard. Guided by the light from the leaky little lighthouse and helped by the boatmaker's own mysterious power, they had made their way to safety. They were all scarred and weary, but they would all be well now and safe forever. And the second wonder was a leaky little lighthouse standing still on top of the point, washed clean to be brighter than ever and grateful for the gracious chance to fulfill again her precious purpose. She looked out over Wide Bay, and she knew again her awesome responsibility. She looked back into the narrow harbor, and she knew again her enormous privilege. Tears fell from every one of her windows, and she picked up her plaque and put it back up on her wall. "Here I give you my light. Shine it out. Split the night. Guide my boats. Point the way. Shine your light on Wide Bay and into my narrow harbor." And she shined like never before. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for what you have entrusted to us. Lord, that you have called us to be the light of the world, a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. And I pray that you would help us here at Covenant and help all of you churches here in Reno and around the world not to fall to the temptation to hide our light under a bushel, to diminish it by paying attention to things that really don't matter rather than the things that really do. Your goodness, your power, your glory, your love, your truth. Your call to your people to see you and trust you and to give ourselves into your care, to live our lives with you as you chose to come and be with us. And so to find the lasting fulfillment and the ultimate safety and significance that are ours in you. Lord, I pray that you would help us here at Covenant to continue to fulfill our calling as an authentic church, the same calling that all churches have, to be a lighthouse for you and for the good news of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Lord, may we do that with boldness, with humility, and with great joy. And I pray these things in your name and for your sake. Amen.